All right, so let's talk marriage. I know. You're probably thinking we're going to dish about some celebrity wedding, but not today. We're going deeper, way deeper. We're diving into common law marriage. You've heard of it, right? Maybe you think it's as simple as, oh, living together for a while.
Yeah, that's a pretty common misconception. Common law marriage is a lot more complex than that. It's got a long, and I mean loon history, more than you'd think.
Okay, now you've got me curious. Give me the historical lowdown.
All right, get this. We're going back to 1877 to a Supreme Court case, Meister v. Moore. It actually declared marriage, get this, a fundamental right, like even before states existed.
Wow, 1877. That's not just some old dusty rule, then. It carries some serious weight, huh? So for anyone out there thinking about common law marriage, or maybe you're in one and don't even realize it, this deep dive's for you.
You got it. And let's clear up something right off the bat. You can't really have an unlawful common law marriage.
Wait, what? Really? What do you mean?
Some states might not recognize common law marriage, but no state can actually make it illegal. See, because of that Meister v. Moore case, a fundamental right.
Oh, okay. So it's more about how states document these marriages then, right?
Exactly. Think of it this way. Recognized means they have an official record, usually with a license. But trying to make common law marriage totally illegal can't do it because of that Supreme Court ruling.
Gotcha. So for our listeners, this means you're not trying to avoid some kind of ban. It's about making sure you've got a strong legal record,
Which
right?
is the key.
But how do you do that? What actually makes a common law marriage ironclad?
You need clear evidence you intended to be married, and you need to show everyone you're married. You can't just live together and call it a day.
So it's about being intentional and letting people know. So for everyone out there thinking, we share a toothbrush and a Netflix password, we're basically married. Nope, not so fast. We've got a checklist for you based on what we've learned. It's all about building that strong foundation and step one, a written marriage contract. Signed, dated, notarized, the whole nine yards.
Absolutely. And to be extra careful, why not have a ceremony, with witnesses and everything? We found some stuff about secret marriages, and let me tell you, that can get messy legally.
Yeah, it's like that whole social media announcement thing, but with legal documents.
Yeah.
And speaking of documents, having a signed marriage certificate with multiple witnesses, super important. And hey, why not some photos or videos too? You're probably already taking pictures together anyway.
Exactly. It's all about documenting that intent to be married. And don't forget, consistently presenting yourselves as married to your community, to friends, family, neighbors, it shows a pattern, reinforces that this is a real marriage.
So it's like building a legal case, piece by piece. But even with all this, I'm sure some people are still thinking, yeah, but what about all those horror stories? Common law marriages gone wrong, people fighting over stuff, over kids.
Those are valid concerns, and a lot of those problems come from people not doing it right, not being clear from the get-go, especially when it comes to property and stuff after someone dies.
So being clear about your intentions from the beginning is crucial. Don't just assume things will magically work out.
You got it. And here's another key difference you need to understand. Common law marriage versus a traditional marriage, the kind you get at City Hall.
Right, the classic wedding.
Yeah.
What's different about the legal side of things?
When you go the traditional route, you're basically signing a contract with the state three ways. And you're bound by their family laws, like it or not.
Okay, so with traditional marriage, you're playing by the state's rules. Got it. But with a common law setup.
It's more like a direct contract between the couple, which can be amazing. You get to shape it, make it reflect your values, be more flexible, but you've also got to get it right from the start.
So it's potentially more freedom, but also more potential for things to go wrong if you aren't careful. So what happens if things go south? In a common law marriage, can you just say, we're not married anymore, and that's it?
It'd be nice, wouldn't it? But no, it's not that easy. Ideally, you would have laid out how to end things in that initial contract.
Ah, so thinking ahead, having those tough conversations early on can really save you a headache down the line. But what if you didn't? What if those terms aren't in the contract?
Well, then you might find yourselves dealing with family court, with all their rules and procedures. It's not ideal, but it's kind of the backup plan.
So, reminder for everyone, even though a common law marriage gives you more freedom, it doesn't mean you're totally free from the legal system.
Right. And speaking of the legal system, this is going to blow your mind. we found this fascinating thing about how marriage licenses are actually defined, like in Black's Law Dictionary, you know, the big book of legal terms.
Okay, hit me with it. What's the legal plot twist?
So they define marriage licenses as being required for those intending to intermarry.
Intermarry, okay.
And guess what intermarry points you to? Miscegenation.
Wait, hold on. Miscegenation.
Right.
As in interracial marriage.
Yes. See, the term has a lot of baggage, you know. It's tied to that whole history of racial discrimination. And while you can't outright ban interracial marriage anymore because that's unconstitutional, requiring a license for it, totally legal.
Wow, that's heavy. So essentially, the very definition of marriage licenses is tied to this really problematic history.
Yeah. It really makes you think, doesn't it? Is this just some legal technicality or something much bigger?
It definitely gives our listeners something to think about. There's so much to unpack when it comes to the history of marriage in America.
It really makes you wonder about those historical echoes, doesn't it? But let's bring it back to common law marriage for a sec. We want to make sure everyone listening has a solid understanding of what to watch out for, you know?
Yeah, good point. We've covered a lot. It's easy to get lost in all the details. So what are some of the biggest things people get wrong about common law marriage? What assumptions should we be busting?
Okay, so number one misconception. Living together, automatically common law married. Nope, not even close. And we can't emphasize this enough. Just sharing a house doesn't do it. Remember, it's got to be intentional. You need that contract, and you need to show everyone that you consider yourselves married.
Right. If it were just about living together, think of all the college roommates who'd be accidentally hitched. So what else do people tend to assume that just isn't true?
Another biggie is thinking common law marriage means you've got, like, zero legal protection. We touched on it earlier, but it's important. You can actually build in protections right into that initial contract. Things like how property gets divided, what happens with kids.
So you're taking charge, right? Building the kind of marriage agreement that actually works for your specific situation. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. It's way more personal than just going with whatever the state decides.
Okay, I'm taking notes. Anything else we should clear up before we move on?
One last myth I hear a lot is that common law marriage means you totally bypass the legal system. Nope. Remember that divorce example. If you don't spell things out clearly in your contract, you might end up in family court anyway, which can be a real mess, let's be honest.
True. So it's more freedom, yeah. But it's not like you're off the grid completely. There are still rules to follow.
Definitely. And that brings us to a really crucial point. Anyone out there even thinking about common law marriage, please talk to a lawyer. They can help you figure out the laws in your state, make sure that contract is solid, and spot any potential problems before they blow up.
It's an investment, you know, like an investment in your peace of mind. And speaking of thinking ahead, we found this really interesting idea when we were researching. It's about putting alternative ways of resolving disagreements, like right into your marriage contract.
Oh, yeah, that's a fascinating concept. Tell me more.
Okay, so imagine this. Instead of running straight to court if you can't agree on something, you and your partner could decide to try mediation first, or arbitration, or even, you know, involve people you both trust from your community to help you figure things out.
Wow, it's like creating your own mini legal system just for your marriage.
Right. It's about finding what works for you instead of just defaulting to the traditional way of doing things.
I love that. It really flips the script, doesn't it? Instead of seeing disagreements as this big, scary legal battle, it's about working together to find a solution you can both live with.
It's about remembering your partners, not opponents, right?
Exactly. And honestly, I think that's a valuable lesson no matter what kind of relationship you're in, whether it's common law, traditional marriage, whatever. It's so true. Common law marriage, in a way, forces you to be more upfront about building a strong foundation for your relationship. Having those conversations early on, being clear about what you want, and deciding how you'll deal with conflict. That's all super important.
Couldn't have said it better myself. It's about taking that passive approach to partnership and throwing it out the window.
Yeah.
You get to actively create the relationship you want.
Exactly. And that's something everyone can learn from. It's about asking those big questions. What are our values, our goals? How do we want to handle disagreements? And then talking about it, putting in the work to make it happen.
It's a journey, isn't it? Yeah. And embracing that journey, instead of just hoping for the best, can make all the difference, no matter what path you choose.
It's like that old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But instead of medicine, we're talking about communication and clear expectations in a relationship. Love that analogy. And it's so true when you think about it. Common law marriage really encourages couples to be proactive right from the start. It's not about just falling into something. It's about consciously building a partnership that's strong and resilient.
And that's a message that resonates far beyond just the legal stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about taking ownership of your relationship, no matter what form it takes.
Absolutely. Whether you're thinking about common law marriage, a traditional marriage, or even just a committed partnership, those core principles still apply. Communicate, be intentional, and don't be afraid to have those tough conversations.
Well, there you have it, folks. We've gone deep, deep into the world of common law marriage. We've talked history, legalities, and even some philosophical stuff about what it means to be in a partnership.
Hopefully you've learned a thing or two and maybe even started thinking about your own relationships in a new light. Remember, knowledge is power. The more you know, the better choices you can make.
And with that, we'll wrap up this episode of The Deep Dive. Till next time, keep those minds curious, those conversations going, and never stop exploring.